The way I would put it is that Obamacare is sort of standing on the edge of a death spiral, kind of looking down into it. It may not be in a death spiral as of yet.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV. Today we're talking with Peter Suderman. He's features editor at Reason, and he writes a lot about Obamacare and healthcare in general. Big news recently is that the middle tier of coverage options in Obamacare, on the Obamacare exchanges, the premiums for those are going up by about 25%, but you've written that prices to most consumers won't increase. What's going on?
Yeah, so this is an interesting situation with Obamacare. About three quarters of the people who get their coverage through the exchanges are not going to see a huge price increase in what they pay, even though premiums are going up by about 25% for an average middle tier plan. And the reason is that the way the subsidies are designed under the law is that they are pegged to go up according to the price of what's called the benchmark plan, which is the second lowest cost plan in the silver tier. It's all a little bit complicated, but basically when premiums go up, subsidies go up along with that.
And those subsidies cover people up to about 400% of the poverty line.
That's right.
And that is about, for a family of four, making up to about $97,000.
That's right.
So the subsidies are going up, then who's picking up the premium increase?
So what happens when the subsidies increase is that the cost to the government, which is to say to those of us who are taxpayers, goes up as well. However, the cost is going to go up for some individuals, those people who are above the who don't qualify for subsidies, people who make more than 400% of the poverty line as their annual income. And so that's a little less than a quarter of the people who get their plans through Obamacare. And those people are going to feel the full brunt of the increases.
Right.
And so that leads you to worry to some extent that those people might choose to go without insurance.
So for about a quarter of the people, they'll be paying the full cost of the increase in their Obamacare premium.
That's right. They're paying the full cost of their plan already. They're getting no subsidies.
Right.
And so when the plan price goes up, they will pay the full cost of the increase as well. And so that's going to change the calculation for some
people. So that means if it's a 25% increase on a $400 a month premium, it would go up to $500 a month.
That's right. Although it's important to understand that these are average increases.
Yes. Yeah.
And so in some places, the increases are going to be somewhat smaller, but in some places, we've seen increases in the 30, 40, even 60% range.
Wow.
And so it's really going to vary by region. In particular, rural regions are going to see the biggest increases.
And then in 2019, the subsidy caps go away. So that means that the government will be subsidizing less of the increases. Explain how that works.
Right now, the situation is that if you are subsidized, most of the increase in your premiums will be covered by the subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
But starting in a few years, even people who get subsidies are going to start to feel the pain of increases because the way the subsidy is calculated is going to change. And so what's going to happen is that this insulation that people have, this kind of buffer from premium increases, exists for right now, but is going to go away in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to make it even more likely that those people are might choose to pay a penalty rather than to purchase insurance.
And I mean, the premiums are going up because the health insurance companies miscalculated how much, on average, it was going to cost to cover people.
The premiums are going up because the insurance pool turned out to be somewhat sicker than expected,
mm-hmm.
and therefore more expensive. And also, it turned out to be smaller than expected. So if you look at the initial projections from the Congressional Budget Office, they said that enrollment as of last year was going to be about 40% higher in the exchanges than it turned out
mm-hmm.
to be.
So it's a smaller, sicker pool, which means that it costs more ultimately. I mean, there's less cost sharing and there's more sickness.
Right.
So the price to who has ever left goes up. Is this, you know, people talk a lot about death spirals in Obamacare. Is this a death spiral or is this kind of a loping, wounded, you know, one-winged dove or something? What comes next?
So that is the big question. The administration's position is that this is a one-time correction. They've called this a transition year for the law. And they are arguing, or maybe better, they are hoping that insurance premiums kind of stabilize and that enrollment stabilizes at this point. And I think that remains to be seen. If you look at what's going on with the premiums, about, like I said, a little less than a quarter of people are going to be affected by them, and those people are going to have some incentive, or at least going to have a reason to think about maybe dropping out this year, maybe going without coverage. There are some projections that are already indicating that enrollment is likely to be flat this year. And it's going to be difficult for Obamacare to keep going with stagnating enrollment, especially if they can't sort of replace some of the sicker people with somewhat healthier people. It's an open question, I think, at this point. The way I would put it is that Obamacare is sort of standing on the edge of a death spiral, kind of looking down into it. It may not be in a death spiral as of yet.
Now, President Obama has been talking and taking credit for a slowdown in the rate of increase in medical costs. He says, look, you know, we passed Obamacare in 2010, and the rate of increase is lower than it had been. Is it that clear that Obamacare has anything to do with the direction of medical care costs?
No, it is not. There is some correlation. It's very difficult to prove causation because medical inflation, depending on which measure you use, was actually dropping starting years before Obamacare was passed. So does Obamacare get credit for everything that happened after Obamacare was passed? Maybe some credit, maybe a lot, maybe a little. It's actually hard to say, and it's hard to really pin down causality here. Sort of the political point on this, though, that's worth thinking about is Obama is making the argument that most people who have insurance through their jobs, that is not through Obamacare, are saving about $3,600 a year relative to what they would be paying without Obamacare in place. And what he's really doing is making a kind of a counterfactual argument. It's here you've got savings relative to this alternate history. And not it's not actually savings. You're paying more. You're just paying less more than you might have been in some history that didn't, in some other timeline that didn't happen.
And he's saying that's all because of Obamacare, even though the trajectory in inflation was not going to zero or below zero, but it was slowing down before Obamacare was passed.
He's giving Obamacare significant credit for this.
This is presidential election year, obviously. How is health care and Obamacare playing out in terms of the election of 2016?
Well, you basically got two arguments, one from Hillary Clinton, which is that, yes, this law has some problems, but let's not scrap it, and I will fix it. She tends not to dwell too much on her particular fixes. But the one thing that she has spoken about probably most prominently is that she supports what's known as a public option. That's a government-run health insurance plan that would compete alongside of private insurers in at least some of the exchanges, maybe in all of them. She hasn't provided a huge number of details in terms of how she would do this. She's also suggested that she might allow people who are younger than 65 to buy into Medicare, thus opening up some additional options for them. Donald Trump, on the other hand, has basically towed the Republican line on we need to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something else. It's not at all clear that he understands how Obamacare works, what it is, or has any real plan to replace it. He's harped on this idea of getting rid of the lines around the states, which, if you're being charitable, is a reference to letting people buy insurance across state lines. But it's not clear that he understands why you would want to do that, because his plan would keep the regulations within states in place. And he's also been totally unable to explain it. He seems to think that Obamacare may have something to do with workplace insurance. It doesn't at all.
Are voters, you know, do people like Obamacare more than they used to, less than they like to, or are they, just shrugging and not being able to figure anything out?
A little bit of the latter. The trend lines for Obamacare in the polls have been pretty consistent over the years, which is to say that it is somewhat less, it is somewhat more unpopular than it is popular. More people dislike it than like it. The gap is typically anywhere from 3 to 7 points. And so Obamacare just sort of continues to chug along with many Democrats liking it, many Republicans opposing it, and more people overall opposing the law than favoring it.
Well, we will leave it there. We've been talking with Peter Suderman. He is the features editor at Reason. Check out his work about Obamacare and other issues at Reason.com. For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.